As we continue to talk about trust, I got an email from another person, okay, who said, if I was in a marriage, a committed relationship, and my partner had an affair, in time I would be able to forgive the person due to mind training practices, but I would not personally want to continue that relationship. So my question is, once trust is betrayed, can it be restored to its original form? Maybe that's possible for bodhisattvas and Buddhas, but what about us ordinary beings? We can forgive, but we'll never forget, and so that relationship has radically changed. True, hasn't it? Okay, so this talk is meant more for the side of the person whose trust has been betrayed. So we've all been on that side of this whole situation too, where we feel quite hurt and angry. We might have some ill will towards the other person. We might have a lot of resentment. It may have triggered other similar, you know, memories of other times in the past where we felt our trust was betrayed. And so a whole lot of stuff from the past may all of a sudden kind of come rising up and, you know, land on top of our head, in addition to what's coming up about this situation. And often we can't tell the difference, you know, it's just all one big emotional mess inside of us. So in that kind of situation, I think forgiveness is really the antidote that we need. I mean, we experience pain and anger and resentment and ill will, maybe even the wish for revenge. But the thing is, the more we hold on to those feelings, the more unhappy we're going to be. And so whether you decide to stay together, whether the couple splits up, still releasing those negative emotions is beneficial. Isn't it? Yeah, because the more you sit and hang on to them and get to the point where you make an identity of I'm the person who was betrayed by so-and-so, and then your whole life you spend telling people about how that person betrayed your trust, and, you know, and that becomes your story, that becomes the way you look at yourself, the way you look at your life, then you become really, really stuck, don't you? You know, you're stuck in hurt, stuck in anger, stuck in an identity about something that's in the past that's not happening now. Yeah, so I think forgiveness, what I define as forgiveness, is releasing those negative emotions. Doesn't mean you forget the situation, yeah, but you release those negative emotions so that when you approach life, you can approach it, you know, freshly. Yeah, without dragging that whole backpack of like bricks along with you about he did this to me and before they did that and before they did that and, you know, and the whole world and, you know, I mean, you know how we are. We can really ham it up. Sounds like a topic for a skit, doesn't it? Yeah, we can make a very good skit out of this one. But that's exactly what happens. And who wants to live their whole life like that? I mean, it's torture to ourselves. The other person did what they did one time that broke the trust, but we remind ourselves every day that they did that. So we do it to ourselves every day. They did it once, we remember it every day, we reinforce it, we do it to ourselves. Okay? So I think that you know, the regular antidotes for anger are something really good to apply here. And, you know, to be able to look at the other person and see that, yes, I trusted them. And there's a few different points here. You know, yes, I trusted them. Maybe I gave them more trust in a particular area than they could bear. Yeah, and maybe that was a misjudgment on my part. Yeah, that I didn't see them so clearly, so I trusted them in an area that maybe they weren't able to bear that trust. Or it could be that maybe they were able to bear that trust, but, you know, for in general, But they're imperfect human beings, and so of course they're going to crash. Yeah. So it may have been a reasonable expectation, but you know, a reasonable expectation of somebody to behave in a certain way. But it's unreasonable for us to expect someone to always do whatever we want. Yeah, I mean, people are imperfect and they make mistakes. And so by seeing this, you know, it can help us replace the anger and that unrealistic expectation of a perfect person with, you know, a more nuanced perspective that also is based on compassion. Like, oh, here's a suffering sentient being who promised to do this and was, you know, his or her afflictions completely overwhelmed them. They got taken away by their attachment, by their anger. You know, just like I too sometimes get taken away by attachment and anger. And, you know, and so to have some compassion for somebody whose mind is sometimes uncontrolled. Yeah. So that doesn't mean what we say they did is okay. Okay, we have to be very clear, you know, like what they did was not okay, but we don't have to hate them and hold a grudge for it. We can have some compassion for them. Yeah. And then, of course, we've got to decide to what extent we're going to trust them in which kind of areas in the future. So now we have more information about this person. Can we trust them in the same area where we trusted them before? Maybe before we trusted them here, now we have to lower it a little bit. Okay. Or maybe we see that, you know, through their, you know, making purification and changing themselves, maybe we see, oh, no, they are worthy of, you know, the same kind of trust before. But it may take you some time to assess that, yeah, because the other person is now saying, you know, like in this one, oh, I'm so terribly sorry and I really hurt you and I'm not going to do it again. But the wife is saying, well, you said that before. So how do I know this time that you're really going to do it? Well, the only way she's going to know is over time. Yeah, and there's no way to rush that process. It just has to be time spent together to build the trust back up and then to decide, you know, to what level you trust that person. And then also, you know, we trust people in different areas of our life too. So there's some areas where it's more important to us to trust people and other areas where it's less important to trust people. Yeah. I mean, if you're married to somebody, you're probably an area that you want to trust them more is in terms of, you know, being faithful. But you don't need to trust them so much in terms of can they fly a jet plane? Of course, unless they're a pilot and you're planning to go up with them, then you want to trust them in that area. Okay, so there's going to be different areas in somebody's life. You know, you don't have to trust them in every area to maintain the relationship, but you have to be able to trust them in the areas that are really important to you. And so that trust takes time to build up again. Yeah, so I think in this kind of situation, you have to have, you know, for the person whose trust is betrayed, it's very tempting to like just blame the other person and even do a whole big guilt trip on them. And like, you know, you betrayed this, you're so awful, you owe me something. You know, I want blood in repayment for what you've done to me. Yeah, and in one of the relationships I told you, a few people are writing me about this problem. It seems that the betrayed partner, I mean, they're holding it over their spouse and, you know, wanting something back. And that kind of behavior is only going to ruin the relationship, you know, because as soon as you want blood and you know, you're expecting them to do something, you know, incredible to show how repentant they are, and you're demanding it and you're not going to be satisfied till you get it, then it's putting so much pressure on the other person that they're probably going to turn away from you. Yeah. And even if they try and please you, it's never going to be good enough. So I think in these kinds of situations, I mean, the chief thing you have to do is heal yourself and you know, learn to recover from your own hurt, learn to recover from your, you know, and release your own anger. And then as you do that and your mind gets clearer and your mind gets more balanced, then I think naturally you're going to see, do I want to remain in a marriage, in a relationship with this person or not? Yeah. Whereas if you approach it the other way, if I've got to figure out right now whether I want to stay with them or not, that it might be a bit more difficult because your mind is so like this, because there's so many strong afflicted emotions going on. Okay, but like I said, this takes some time, but the chief work is to use the Dharma practice on yourself and to release the hurt, release the anger, generate some compassion and some empathy for yourself and also for the other sentient being. Yeah, and realize we are all stuck in samsara together, which is precisely why we want to practice the Dharma so that we can all get out. Because until we get out, this same whole process is going to keep going on and on and on in future lives. As long as we're in samsara as individuals with afflictions, we're going to either betray others' trust or they're going to betray our trust. There's no way around it. Yeah, it's a given in samsara. So to really use that to strengthen our renunciation of samsara and strengthen our bodhicitta, so that we, you know, want to become a Buddha to help others get out of samsara as well. Okay. Any questions or comments about this? Yeah.
Just in hearing you talk, I've been thinking of the people I know who've been married for a long, long time. I can't think of a single marriage that hasn't dealt with a single one or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also some point when this person said, you know, even if I could forgive them, I would not go on with the relationship. I think there's also something that comes in that moment where you evaluate what is this worth to me?
What is
this worth to me?
To me, right, of course.
About the investment of time, what about, you know, the mm-hmm. that we have. And so that also comes in, I think, with our trust. We have, you know, 20 years where things were, you have a certain amount of knowledge that says this person was reliable.
Yeah.
At this point, this is an aberration. Mm-hmm. Or for the last 20 years, this person has been doing this 20 times.
So what?
You can't just say, even though I could forgive them, I would end the relationship.
Yeah.
Many more factors. Than
yeah.
That.
Okay. Okay. So what she's saying is you hardly know any marriages where people haven't dealt with this kind of issue of just in one way or another. Yeah. And that when this happens, then there's many, many factors to consider, not just, you know, this one incident, but what's been the general flavor and practice of the marriage. For example, have they been faithful for 20 years and this is an aberration? Or has there been something each year where they've been going off and this is just part of the whole pattern? Because that kind of thing is going to definitely influence in what way you want to continue the relationship. Because one thing that's very interesting is we shouldn't, although we talk of ending relationships, you never actually end any relationship because we always exist in relationship to everybody, don't we? So when we say end a relationship, what we really mean is we're changing it from, let's say, a marriage relationship to an ex relationship or something like that. But you still have to create a new relationship with the person because we're always in relationship to every single sentient being. You never end any relationship, yeah? And so there's going to be lots of things that come into mind when you're deciding what kind of relationship you want to have with this person in the future. Because, you know, it could be you've invested a lot of time and energy. This was one aberration. they seem, you know, repentant enough, you're happy to go on. There could be financial concerns, there could be children involved, there could be so many other things, yeah? So each person is going to look at this kind of thing and make a different decision about, do they want to stay in the marriage? What kind of relationship do they want to have with this person in the future? Yeah, because even if you break up as a married couple, you still have to relate to each other. You have property in common. Maybe you have kids in common. So there's still some relationship. You still have to learn to talk decently to each other. You still have to let go of your anger and resentment and your hurt. Yeah, you know, breaking up the relationship doesn't end your bad feelings. Yeah, but you really have to see what you want to do. And everybody's going to come to a very different conclusion about this. People are really, really different, because what one person says is acceptable, another person, you know, would say is unacceptable. Yeah? So there's no cookie cutter pattern for any of this.
Maybe it's also in relationship to how it influences our behaviors towards others. So, like, if you're not able to deal with the situation and we put it out to others, we have relationships with our colleagues, friends, whatever, then maybe if we can't solve the problem in our relationship, if we are not able to change, if we are not able to accept, to forgive, then maybe, in my sense, maybe then it's a good step to go or to part, to find peace with it in yourself, so that you not inflict or not influence others with your emotions, with your afflictions.
Okay, so you're saying that if you have a lot of strong negative emotions in response to what happened, that it can be good to separate, at least for some time, to work on yourself, so that the person you have all these emotions towards isn't in your face every single day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to separate out, take a little bit of time away. Come on retreat! Yeah? Yeah? So you can spend that time working on yourself instead of having things triggered constantly. Yeah? There's one other point I wanted to mention, and it keeps coming and going. Yeah? Yeah?
I was just thinking your response is really fantastic, and I was just imagining someone who might think, well, I'm a Buddhist, I should get back in the saddle and work hard and forgive this person. Mm-hmm. But actually, I don't really want to, but I should. Mm-hmm. And so this whole thing of being a good Buddhist, I should, you know, embrace this relationship again in the same way. But, you know, this new information has really made a wake-up call.
Okay, so you're saying that somebody may have the idea, if I'm a good Buddhist, I should stay in the relationship and work it out. I don't see the logic in that.
But someone could think.
Somebody could think that, but it's there's nothing saying that if you're a Buddhist, you have to stay in a bad relationship.
Right.
You know, there's nothing that says that. So somebody could think that, but then they need to step back and they need to look at the relationship to start with. And is it basically a good relationship and it's had this bump? Or is it a relationship that's never really been a very good relationship? You know, in which case you would be better to separate. But there shouldn't be any of this thing of, if I'm a good Buddhist, I should do X, Y, Z. There's no reason to put that on top of your head, you know. Because that's, if I were a good Buddhist, I should do X, Y, Z in the external situation. Buddhism is not about what you do in the situation, it's about what you do in your own mind. Yeah? So you could say, if I'm a good Buddhist, I should work on myself and pacify my own mind. That you can say. But as in terms of what you should do with the other person, you're going to make your own decision according to what conclusions you come to as you work with your own mind. Yeah. Another thing to look at in this kind of situation too it, you know, for the person who feels betrayed. Because the temptation when you feel betrayed is it's always the other person's fault. You know, we had a promise, I'm doing everything right, they broke the promise and they're wrong. But I think, you know, it might be good to consider too that if one spouse is wandering from the relationship, that maybe, you know, the relationship had been getting neglected. Because it can very easily happen when you've been married to somebody for a while, especially if you have kids, that you begin to neglect the other partner because there's so many other things going on in your life. Yeah? So very often, you know, a couple's very close when they first get married, and then when the kids come, they get so involved with the kids, because kids are, you know, you have to be on duty 25/8 for kids. And so you don't have any time for your spouse anymore. So it's very easy for people to grow apart in those years of raising kids. Yeah? And so to really look and say, oh, you know, first of all, when you're raising the kids, like, oh, actually, my relationship with my spouse is very important. And so I need to take care of that and not just give all the attention to the children. And then if you see you're giving too much to the children, to remind yourself that actually what's, I think, more important for kids is for them to know that their parents care about each other. You know, even if the parents don't spend quite as much time individually with the children will feel very secure if they know that the parents care about each other. Okay? But it might be that a couple has been married and they don't have kids, you know, so they don't have that distraction. But maybe, you know, something else has come up and their energy has been going in another direction. One spouse has been focusing on this, one has been focusing on that. And somehow they've, you know, they haven't realized that they've been not coming together and sharing their ideas and their thoughts and their lives together as much as they could be. So it could be a time when this happens that you realize, oh, actually, we had grown apart a little bit without realizing it, and so now's the opportunity to try and renew the relationship, but in a better way than it was before. Because the thing is, you can never go back to the way the relationship was before, but I don't know that people would want to go back to the way it was before. Yeah? Because usually if something's happened, something wasn't satisfactory in the way it was before. So you know, if you decide to come back together, then you want to really spend some time and get to know each other again and, you know, do things together that you haven't done before, talk about things that you haven't talked about before, you know, really spend time working on the relationship instead of just thinking, oh, well, we'll patch up this thing and then we'll just go back to the way it was. Because that's not going to work. Yeah, it's not going to be satisfactory for either of the parties. Mm-hmm.